This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The following podcast contains explicit language.
But that's not what you did. And what I saw in the gym yesterday, that was a boy. I'm looking for a man. And I feel like I have some amazing men in that house who are here for me. So I'm glad that you've realized that you should move forward. But I need you to know that forward isn't that way to the mansion. Okay. Forward is outside of it. So I'm glad that this has been a life lesson. I'm glad that you gave me the quote about the joy and the pain. Mm-hmm. And I hope that the pain that you've gotten from this gives you joy somewhere else. Right. It's just not here right now. Thank you.
Surprise. Yes, it's Tuesday and we are coming to you with a special four-part recap series of The Bachelorette. I'm Aisha Harris and my producer, Verilyn, is officially a fan of the show.
Hey, y'all. Yes, as we covered in episode 45, Rachel Lindsay is the franchise's first Black Bachelorette. And yeah, I watched the season premiere as prep for the conversation you had on the show, and now I am three episodes in.
And I have still only watched the premiere.
Fair.
So as she will be watching the rest of the season anyway, Verilyn will also be hosting our recap episodes, which we're calling The Represent Rose.
Yes, The Represent Rose. I will be having these conversations with Dr. Robin M. Boylan, who is the Associate Professor of Interpersonal and Intercultural Communications at the University of Alabama, and she's also a member of Crunk Feminist Collective. And by the end, we are deciding whether we are going to give this season of The Bachelorette a Represent Rose or not. So far, well, listen to this episode we're about to drop. Hey, Robin.
How you doing?
I'm so excited to have you on the show and to get into the what ABC is calling the historic season of The Bachelorette. And I first hit you up because you wrote a piece for Slate called Black, Single, and Waiting, which you masterfully showed us how for the last 15 years, the Bachelor franchise has, quote, made a caricature of Blackness. And you asked, could this season finally be different? And we're definitely going to get into all those particularities. But Can you first also just let people know what the Crunk Feminist Collective is? Because I feel like that also makes you such a good person to be having these chats with.
Awesome. Yes. So the Crunk Feminist Collective is a scholar activist group of women of color, scholars and activists who identify as feminist and have a particular interest in hip-hop generation feminism and representations in popular culture.
And on your bio, I was saying before we started that I love the line in your bio where you say you're an Alice Walker womanist, or in parentheses, you write a Black feminist. Because I feel like Alice Walker was the first person to say womanist in describing what we now think of intersectionalities of being a woman, being Black, being, of a different class, and how all those things are incorporated in my feminist. And I think that was she was the first person I heard say that, and it changed my perspective.
Yes, Alice Walker. And we usually, in academic context, will specify Alice Walker womanist, because while she coined that term and the idea that a Black feminist that we shouldn't have to put Black in front of feminist as Black women to claim feminism, that term itself has been co-opted several times, so that the meaning is oftentimes differentiated. So when I say Alice Walker womanist, it's just another way of saying Black feminist, but I am a deeply country, rural feminist.
Yes. And I think another thing just to set up how excited I am for this conversation is that you say that your work focused around ratchet respectability, which I think is such a perfect term. Like, me and my friends, we used to say sophista ratchet because, like, we can, like, dance to a 2 Chainz song, right? But, I mean, you know. But, you know, we still like to read books and shit. Like, it's fine. We can be both things.
Right.
And which I feel like that's one of the things I think a lot of Black women are looking at Rachel and wondering, is she just going to be what ABC in the last season when she was on The Bachelor kind of set up as this like exception to every stereotype maybe their average white viewer is watching, or is she going to show us that she's Black, like that recognizable head nod Black?
Yes, and I think that she has. As a matter of fact, you know, I was skeptical initially about even thinking about watching The Bachelorette, even though there was going to be a Black Bachelorette, mm-hmm. because the whole concept seemed oxymoronic to me, because the representations of Black women we've seen on television, even when they are quote unquote respectable, has always made them either low class, as in Real Housewives of Atlanta, or has completely diminished them to being seen as ratchet, as mm-hmm. in Love and Hip Hop. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to see those two things married in a 30 plus year old, so grown ass Black woman mm-hmm. who is highly educated, a lawyer, successful, but also, you know, can do a two-step on national television and call out a fuckboy on national television.
Can we get into that? So when you talk about the fuckboy, of course we're talking about DeMario.
Yes.
And DeMario is a character. Can we call it contestant? There we go. That's probably a better word. Yes. DeMario was one of the contestants vying for Rachel's love. Mm-hmm. And I think the second episode, right from the gate, Rachel is at a basketball game. DeMario is a part of this group of guys that have gone on this date and they're playing basketball. And then after the game, a bunch of women are walking up to Rachel, some girls, which was very telling too, like white girls being like, I'm so excited that you're the bachelor. I was like, oh my gosh, like these are the girls that like have been watching this show from jump. I grew up with this, and now they get to see a Black Rachel as their bachelorette, like mm-hmm. mind blown, right?
Right.
And then another woman walks up to Rachel and it is DeMario's girlfriend / side piece / fuck buddy. We don't know exactly the nature of their relationship. All we know is that it didn't quite end before she saw him on television with a ring, because he was one of the first four people that Rachel was introduced to before this season even started. So that's
he
how
was actually the first out. Yes.
Homeboy came out with a ring talking about, I got 2 plane tickets to Las Vegas, we could do this right now, but you still texting homegirl.
right. Right.
And so tell me, when you first saw this playing out, like what was going through your mind? Because I know what was going through my mind.
So when I was seeing it playing out, it was all very familiar to me. It was very Black girl familiar. Mm-hmm. And I could see the shock, the anger and the disappointment on Rachel's face. I was very impressed because I wasn't sure if she was about to go off on everybody or just DeMario, you know, because I didn't know if she was about to call this girl out for trying to, you know, for coming at her crazy. Yeah. But the girl didn't really come at her that crazy. The girl was just like, listen, just so you know.
Woman to woman.
He's not. Yeah, woman to woman. This, you know, this is not what you want.
Yeah.
And so the fact that she, you know, I felt like she was very, Her reaction was much more generous than mine would be, because she gave him an opportunity to tell the truth.
Yes.
Many opportunities.
And the best part is when she walks out with him and his first reaction was, oh, who's that?
Right. And it's like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So the penultimate Black girl perfection was when she said, you can get the fuck out.
Yes.
And I was like, yes, Rachel, on ABC, tell them. And that, you know, and I was like, okay, I can ride for her for real. She's out here representing for real, because she did not, you know, there are many ways because I feel like she was trying to keep it classy, she was trying to keep it above board, but he made her so angry with his lies that she was just not here for it. And even in the following episode, or later in that same episode, whenever he showed back up and she was like, oh, I'm curious. I want to know what he has to say.
Yes.
Yeah.
I felt that in my soul. Like, I felt that, like, especially when she was like, I would not be played. And, like, she said, I would not be embarrassed, something like that. And I was just man, like, how, I feel like, and, you know, I remember when Shaggy came out with that song, It Wasn't Me, and I swear, I had a boyfriend that, like, lived at the altar of that perspective.
right.
And so, like, just the way that she reacted, because I feel like we all have been there. So was that, so I feel like my question, I love that my goal for this space, for these conversations is to have like black girls talking about this show. But I do wonder what, like when white women saw that, like, were they also like, I understand that, you know, like, is that like, do you think that is unique? Like, do you think that we feel this way because Rachel is black? Like, if that was the same situation, but Rachel wasn't, you know, or would it be like, the black man is getting, I don't know, like the stereotype of the black man not being able. Yeah, you know what I mean?
And yes, and that's something I hope we'll talk about as well, this notion of stereotypes of, around black men in a way. Mm-hmm. Some are deserved in the show and some are not. But I don't think that I would have personally, it would not have resonated with me if a white woman would have said that. I think that black girls everywhere, kind of honed in on that moment and she represented all of us in moments that we've had like that. And I think that unfortunately, and this is one of the issues, you know, I've thought about and written about and reflected about representations of black women on reality television in many different iterations. And one of the concerns always is, When we have one of those come to Jesus spiritual moments where we feel it, but we know that there are white people watching.
Yes.
It's like, okay, wait, we get that, but what are they seeing and how are they perceiving this? Because in many ways, I think that for them, it could, or for some of them, that could have just been a reiteration or evidence that, see, black men are unfaithful, which would not just make Rachel's reaction, you know, some kind of evidence for them, but also the fact that the other woman he was messing around with was a white woman. Or the woman he cheated on Rachel with was a white woman. So it's almost like a condemnation of black men in many ways, because black women know that this does not necessarily mean all black men are fuckboys. Mm-hmm. But this particular one was, and these are the reasons why. Yeah. But for someone who is not versed in that and is not versed in, intra-racial relationships between black people, it could be used as a ruse to say black men are unfaithful, therefore black women and white women should, you know,
be wary of black men. And it is that, like, we can't just enjoy it.
Right.
We have to keep, keep thinking about, like, okay, how are other people going to perceive this, and what is that going to tell them about me as a black woman
and black men in general?
Yeah,
it's as much about us learning or seeing, getting to see a black woman try to find love. It's about that, but it's also just as much about black men and whether or not they're capable of love.
Something you mentioned in your piece was just like, you know, when you went down all the different examples of seeing black love on television being vibed for, whether it's from Flavor Flav to I Love New York to, I had forgotten about the Salt and Pep one that when you mentioned that.
Yeah.
And another one you didn't mention, but I was thinking about because TLC now is doing their promotion for their new album. And I remember when Chili, like, for What Chili Wants.
Yes. I forgot about that one. Yes.
Yeah. And I was like, and I remember when she had like a list, and I remember then that became the thing, like, oh, this is why black women can't find anyone, because they have these like long lists of demands, instead of seeing Chili as an individual that has her own wants and desires.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think that for the first time, I remember when they first ushered, you know, they do this thing on the first episode where each man comes out and Rachel has to interact with each one of them. And I was just, I guess I was surprised by how many black men were there. And I'm not going to front, I did have a moment of like, but where are these dudes in real life?
I was thinking the same thing. Now, and some of them I was like, yeah, I know, you know, I've met him before, you know, or, you know, I know that type.
We all know Fred. We all know Fred.
Yes, we all know Fred. But there were others, and I'm like, where, you know, like Eric, what's up? Come to Alabama.
Yes.
You know, like, where are the Eric Biggers in Alabama?
So can we talk about Eric? Okay, since you brought up Eric.
Yes.
So, okay, my sweetie Eric. First of all, let's start with the first episode when Eric came out. He was the one that did the two-step with her.
Yes.
And I think you wrote in a piece. Let me see if I can find the quote. I took it out. Okay. So before the season even started, we mentioned that Rachel met four of the guys. And the fourth suitor in the piece, you said, the fourth suitor immediately seemed to put her at ease. Eric, a black man from Baltimore, broke down into an impromptu dance, and Rachel instinctively joined him. They swayed their hips and flared their arms to the beat of only they could hear, while the requisite, hey, echoed between them. It is the blackest thing I've seen on the Bachelor franchise. They fell into a brief embrace before he walked away, and in a low-key looked like black love at first sight. First of all, that was so poetic.
Oh, thank you.
And second of all, we all do know that hey and that two-step and that, like, what you do, like, that is very, very, very black. And Eric, from that moment, I was like, oh, I really do hope that he rises to the top. But in the last episode, as of this recording, I feel like they're trying to, like, put the angry black man bug in everyone's ear, right?
That's right.
The other contestants are questioning his loyalty. This is weird thing of, like, why are you here? As if they're not all on this reality TV show.
To be on TV,
To be on TV, right?
But for
some reason. But I will say, though, that he seemed, and it might just be the way that it was cut, but he did, before they started whispering about him, because even there was a date and Rachel's quote-unquote friends from the last season. Well, I don't know if they're friends.
Right.
But these girls that came on to kind of vibe for these guys, they asked, like, who do you think is not here for the right reason? And two of the guys named Eric. And so before all this stuff happened, I will say that his energy seemed lower than the rest of the guys. He didn't seem to be, like, putting it on as much. And for me, I kind of like that. I kind of like that he was questioning.
Right.
I kind of like that he was, you know, not just... This is a weird ass situation. And he was kind of just like, this is a weird ass situation. And I feel like I don't know Rachel yet. And I feel a ways about that. Like, I feel like that is a regular thing to feel.
Absolutely. I think it was absolutely legitimate because, I mean, to be real, and I think another one of the things that they kept saying is that he's never been in a relationship before, which does not mean he's not ready for a relationship. So that, you know, so that's one thing. But I think that, you know, I get the vibe that, you know, Eric's cute. Eric's fitness, you know, like, Eric is
he's
fine.
A fitness instructor.
So, yeah, so he's out here doing it. And
popping
Instagram. I don't think he has to usually work really hard to get the attention and affection of a woman. And so I think he's looking around, seeing these whack-ass dudes. And a lot of them, you know, and honestly, out of the 30, half of them were just whack.
Yeah.
And so I think he's looking around like, why are they getting time with her and I'm not? What's really going on? Right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I get that because I think I would, you know, I would probably have a similar reaction if I'm like, there's something kind of off about this. Because why are certain people, because when the Wazoom, Wazam, whatever.
Oh, Waboom.
The Waboom.
I'm so happy she got him out of there.
Meet him and his
the guy that
nemesis.
They
had to go, but the fact that they that both of them were getting time with her and he wasn't, that they were going on dates and he was at the house, I would have been suspicious too, because clearly the Wazoom, whatever dude was there for TV.
Yes.
So why is he getting a date?
Yes. So Eric is asking all the right questions.
And in the same way that Rachel was,
because
they talked a little bit about her skepticism, he was skeptical.
Yeah.
Which is why I think when they called themselves telling Rachel about him, she was like, I understand that. I felt the same way, you know, that he was skeptical about this process and whether or not he would legitimately have an opportunity to get to know her.
And so Andrea Salinzi, who is the host of YOY, and I'm, you know, I've been like kind of like my bachelorette consultant because she's been watching this for years. And this is my first time watching it ever.
Yes.
And so throughout this whole process, she's kind of just been like walking me through it. And so I was like, came in after that third episode and I was like, oh my God, like how, like, look at how they're treating Eric. Like, it's so crazy that they're trying to make him into this like angry black man. Because like, after, you know, oh, we didn't talk about the argument. So first of all, the person that he was arguing with,
Yeah.
Oh, what's his name?
Is it Lee?
Yeah, Lee Garrett. So one of the Lee Garrett is another contestant on there who ended up. He has tweets out there comparing the NAACP to the KKK. So obviously, you know, I mean, white supremacy is definitely a thing that he subscribes to.
Right.
And he's out here like calling, like baiting Eric, like saying little things, like saying like, you're a great guy. You're like, and we all know what that means. Like he's being condescending as fuck.
Right.
And then he says something to Eric that was like, he was like confronting him. He said it maybe at a level 6. And then Eric took it to a level 8, as you do when someone is on some BS.
It's trying you. That's
trying, you know what I mean? And so they're painting this picture like Eric is out of control. Eric is, you know, like off the handle. Whereas I didn't see anything that Eric did that would be dissimilar to what I would do, except maybe I would have thought through, like we were talking about, like thinking 3 steps ahead. Like I probably would have been like, you know what? I know that you're trying me. And what she won't do is have me out here looking crazy.
So
Eric didn't do that. Eric was being his authentic self. So fast forward to the day after this episode, I came in and I said this to Andrea, and it was interesting because she was like, but he did yell. And I was like, oh, like, I think that most of white America is going to look at that and be like, well, he was yelling.
But see, and that's an interesting thing as well, because black men are characterized or caricatured as being either dangerous, criminally minded, or sexually aggressive on reality television. Mm-hmm. They have to be one of those. And so an elevated voice does not make someone dangerous, but for white people, the elevated voice of a black man whom they're already perceiving as potentially dangerous. I can see that, but he wasn't yelling. And that's, and when the guy was like, you're just, he makes me uncomfortable. That's code word.
Yeah.
Or he's dangerous.
Yeah.
He's dangerous. He's going to hurt me. He's violent, when none of those things are true. And I think it's interesting that, you know, that your colleague perceived that as yelling, when I just perceived that as an elevated voice when somebody is trying you, because oh, you don't want to see yelling. Like, we can, that's a different animal altogether.
Exactly. And then for it to be from the guy that we now know has some racist deficit, like that.
Yes.
You know, I just kind of think that it's like, oh, like, and I found out this news after that episode and I was like, wow, like, you know, it's that feeling, it's that gut feeling, like you hear someone say something and they say it in a way that like just makes you feel horrible, and you know what it is. Like, it's not, it's like not to be questioned, it just is what it is. Leave Eric alone. I'm on a leave Eric alone campaign.
That's right. But it's all very strategic though. And I think and very likely intentional, because I think that a lot of times on these shows, race becomes something that they can bait people with.
I can
take the white supremacist and put him in the space with the black man and cause him to make, because keeping in mind that we've seen Eric in these different friend groups or these different groups, none of the black men are saying he makes them uncomfortable. None of the black men are saying he's dangerous. None of the black men are saying he's yelling, because we're used to each other. Like, that's just how we communicate sometimes. And black women have to face that same thing, right? If we elevate our voices or we're not smiling, we're angry black women. And it has a different connotation for black men, but it's the same thing, and he shouldn't have to police his emotions when he's being baited, and particularly when the baiting is racially inspired.
One thing I've been seeing on the internet, and not just around The Bachelorette, but like in general, like this woman of color versus black Bachelorette. And I think the way sometimes people write about it, they're like, you know, women of color, you know, are like tuning in more than ever. And I'm just like, but what's the hesitation with saying black? And that's something, you know, I don't even know what the segue is, but I'm just I'm just wondering, like, as someone that thinks about these things, do you think that, I've kind of feel like my stance is like, it's important to say she's black, and it's important to call black things black. What do you think the hesitation around that is?
I think some of that is maybe potentially people attempting to be inclusive and or politically correct around who's tuning in. Right. So I think, because I think that when we say black women, that's we're talking about a very specific racial subset. When we say women of color, we're including brown people, brown women, you know, Indigenous women. You know, so there's different women that may be tuning in, but I think, but I do think that when they're saying that, they primarily mean Black women. Black women tune in to see Black women on television.
Yeah.
And I think that some of that hesitation is to be, particularly because ABC is trying to market this as diverse. They want it to be as diverse as possible, which means it can't just be Black and white. It has to be inclusive of any other ethnicities that might be represented in what they're calling diverse. Because to them, diverse becomes a coined term that's everybody and not just Black people. And I think that that's probably their intention, is to bring in a more diverse audience. But I think that they probably have attracted more Black women viewers because we're curious. And but I don't. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Like, I would have to see the receipts on that. I'm not sure that, you know, people of color or women of color writ large are tuned in to watch a Black woman fall in love. I'm also skeptical that white women are particularly interested writ large in watching a Black woman fall in love.
Well, the ratings, actually, so I was like doing some research on, like, just trying to think about how this season so far is comparing to previous seasons of The Bachelorette. And as of right now, it's down. Like, if white women were the predominant audience of The Bachelorette in past seasons, they are not tuning in the same numbers to watch this season. It's just, you know.
That makes sense to me. That makes sense to me. And I think that the Black women who are tuning in could never, we can't compensate for you know, the white women that were watching. But that was something that I was thinking. I don't know that white women are interested in watching a Black woman fall in love with a Black man. And I don't think white women are interested in watching a Black woman fall in love with a white man. So how you gonna, you know, so I was like, okay, so how you gonna handle that? Like, I appreciate the Black Bachelorette. I appreciate it. But what is it gonna do to your bread and butter demographic? Mm. Are they really going to be invested? Particularly if we think about the implications of a Black Bachelorette on the future of the franchise, and whether or not, assuming there's a man of color, men of color in the final.
Yeah, that ends up being the next Bachelor.
Yeah, the next Bachelor is a person of color, is a man of color, or a Black man at that. What then might that mean?
Well, this is why my issue with the whole woman of color versus Black thing, like lumping it in, because, like, this is what can happen, right? You can then, next season, have a Black Bachelorette, have a mixture of other people. Like, there's no is there any South Asian people right now and still in the running? No. So let's say this season they lose, they don't hit the same numbers, but then next season they may have a more diverse contestant pool where they'll have South Asians, they'll have more Latinx contestants there. And then you will gain even more people, because then those people will be tuning in. And that you just have to decide what's important to you.
And one thing that we learned years ago with the Labor of Love franchise and its various spinoffs is that Black folk are a loyal audience.
Oh my God.
You know, and we do tune in even when it's, you know, right.
I'm still watching Scandal.
You know, you know, like, so there's truth in those numbers, right? Yeah. The numbers don't lie. But again, as a Black woman, I tune in if there's a Black woman involved.
Yeah.
I can't say I would tune in if it was a brown woman. I mean, I would be supportive, but I don't know that I would be like, let me watch every episode. So if we attach it to that, to people being invested only when they have a very specific connection to the person, then that lowers it even more, because Black people will watch Black people. Will Black people watch brown people? I don't know.
Well, if it was a Black guy and to see, like, who he,
If it was a Black guy, yes. But if it was a South Asian guy, would I watch? Because I think they've had a quote unquote diverse, you know, contestants in the past, but I've never watched before because I've never cared. Right. You know, like, I only care now because Rachel is a Black woman She is a brown Black woman who, not unlike me 5 years ago, you know, was in a particular place in her professional and personal life where she wanted to see what was out there. So I'm rooting for her because I feel like she faces similar challenges that I would face.
Who are you rooting for? Like, who are you hoping that she chooses so far in the mix?
Eric has my vote. Like, Eric got my vote that first night. I think I vote for Eric. And I think that after Eric, my vote was for Fred, because I just felt like, you know, he was...
Oh,
because he's
Fred.
Just super regular.
But Fred... But Fred is... He was the one that did the awkward kiss. He was the one that had was she knew him from a childhood and he was young.
Right.
And then he's like, "Can I kiss you?" And I was like, "Oh, Fred, no, no,
yeah.
Fred."
Yeah, and he was so young.
Yeah,
so
he was. Like... So, but I love that she didn't drag it out. I love that she immediately was like, "I'm not gonna play around with this." With this boy in her point of view.
Right.
I'm not going to play around with this boy's feelings. Let me, like, there's no decision that Rachel has made so far that I looked at with a side eye. I feel like she's consistently been making decisions that I would make.
Yeah. With the exception of the Wazam guy, the fact that he made it past the first night was very.
But that was her, I probably would have made that decision too, because you have to give the producers something. You know, the producers were needed.
Right.
They need that, like, and if that's the least harmful thing. First of all, the white supremacist is still there, and I know the producers knew that. So, if she,
oh my gosh, you think they knew? Well,
of course they knew.
Of course they knew. You're right. Wow.
Of course they knew. So
oh my
imagine.
God. That's kind of disgusting.
So she's
yeah.
thinking, okay, well, let me just keep the Waboom guy because this is the most harmful thing that could be here. At least I can recognize how harmful he can be. But then she got him out of there by episode two. I respect
That's true. Yes. Yes, that makes sense.
But this other guy who she has no idea, I don't know how this is going to elevate. I already see the writings on the wall with the way homeboy is talking to Eric. I don't know if one of the guys are going to end up punching him in his face. I don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
But
right.
it's going to be bad. So the way she peacefully pieced out Fred, I kind of like that.
Yeah, I respected that a lot. Don't be out here playing with people's feelings.
But Josiah is my, him and Eric, I feel like a neck and neck for me. I like Josiah's like energy. I just think, you know, he's the one with the Bible scripture on his tattoo.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, if you're going to have a tattoo.
Yeah. No, I like that. Yeah. Josiah is cool. And I think I will go ahead and put it out there that I would be very disappointed if she doesn't end up with a black man. I would be disappointed. Not surprised, but disappointed.
Yeah, because she seems to like the Colombian guy, too.
Oh, yeah. She was very smitten with him as well.
So the two questions that you wrote in your piece that I kind of wanted to, I guess, begin to grapple with in this conversation and, I guess, throughout the rest of these, hopefully we'll have an answer. One we kind of touched on already, which is, will predominantly white heterosexual women tune in to watch a black woman dating mostly black men? And I guess, as of right now, the answer is no.
Right.
Not as many,
right.
at least.
Right.
Although, like, Andrea is a huge fan, like, you know, she watches it and, like, we come in and I'm assuming she's just as excited to watch this than any other, if anything, like, maybe even more intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's still out. Just the numbers wise, not as many, but it seems like people in my life that watch it. Do you have any body in your life that watched it before?
Yes, I have a couple of friends who are just avid fans of the franchise. So I think they would watch no matter what.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that they, I don't think that Rachel's race has anything to do with their fascination. They literally watch absolutely all the spinoffs, Bachelor in Paradise.
We didn't even talk about
Bachelor
in Paradise. We're not going to get into that here. But there's some current. Apparently, the next season is canceled because of the allegations. There was like sexual assault with who else but DeMario?
DeMario strikes again. Yes, DeMario strikes again. Yes. So he's not helping with us dispelling stereotypes of black men because you know, I told you it was, you know, they're either violent, angry, aggressive, sexually aggressive, or criminals, and here we have him being framed in several of those lights.
Well, apparently, and you know, and of course, this is my new source of this is Andrea, so shout out to her. She was saying that it actually the lawsuit is around the producers because they said that the two contestants, both contestants, were too drunk to consent. Like that's the messaging. So
okay.
It sounds like it was more about just like the state of affairs of like what the show was doing.
The context
of it.
That they
yeah.
put them in.
Yeah.
Let me get you drunk and liquored up and see what happens. And that's interesting to me because I don't know if you ever watched Flavor of Love, but that was a show.
That
you
was
know,
the whole
that
thing.
They were going to, let's get them in this room. All this ain't nothing in here but liquor and see what happens.
Yeah. And I watched every episode, every season. And I think that's something else you mentioned is like, because I tuned in very similar for what you said, which was to see representations of black women, regardless of whether I could relate or not, or whether I felt proud of the images or not. It's just what, you know, but I feel like Black women have been taught how to, you know, walk and chew gum at the same time. Like, I could appreciate this and enjoy it and not feel like it represents me.
That's right. Right. Even though I understand that I'm still implicated by it, which of course then just goes into the what it means when non-Black people watch, you know, because Black people watch and we know that, whatever, but other people watch and see, look at these Black people. I told you Black people were fill in the blank. Yeah.
Can we talk about, like, I feel like there's, like, a lot of pain around that. It's kind of like, I don't know, maybe, like, even when you just said that, like, it just made me feel like there's, like, maybe some kind of trauma, because then it does walk into the way that we are, like, when we're at a bar or when we're, like, just out in the world and, like when someone, I don't know, like, this way that you're perceived and, like, why is, like, this constant double consciousness thing that you have to constantly do in the way that people react to you, or people, like, someone's flirting with you. Are they flirting with you? Like, how, like, I remember, I'll never forget when another place that I used to work, it took me so long to know that this guy was flirting with me, because, like, I just wasn't used to, like, someone that, oh, every time I go to the kitchen, he goes to the kitchen. Like, I was like, oh, that's flirting. Whereas I'm used to, like, guys just, I don't know, being more direct. Does that make, I don't know if I'm.
No, that does. And I think maybe one of the things we're trying to figure out is what it looks like when a Black woman is courted.
Mm-hmm.
What does it look like when a Black woman is desired and not just sexually?
Yeah.
What does it look like to wife a Black woman on national television?
Mm.
What does that look like? Because I'm not sure that I know. I don't think that I know the answer. So yeah, I get that. And then this fear of fetishization.
Yeah.
Or the ways in which, what is it that you, when you look at me, what do you see?
Because Rachel has, for what it's worth, Rachel has straight long weave in her hair.
Yeah.
Again, Andrea, I feel like I'm constantly quoting things that Andrea has told me, because Andrea follows her on Instagram, and on her Insta story, she has braids, and on her Insta story, she'll show, like, what she's doing, and you can see that she has braids in her hair, but on her actual Instagram page, like the stills, none of those pictures have braids, her hair with braids. So I think there's something telling about that.
she is. Without being your prototypical light-skinned Beyoncé-esque Black woman, she has all of the other fixtures of that.
Mm.
You know, she's petite. She has a very Robin Givens vibe for me.
Yes.
She was very, you know, she's very reminiscent of Robin Givens, who was a shit, I think, back in the, you know.
Yeah.
So she looks like a chocolate-dipped Barbie doll.
Mm.
And I think that that white men who fetishize Black women, that's what they're looking for, is a chocolate dipped Barbie doll, and she's that.
I feel like I'm just gonna let the moment let that sit, because I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna let that sit out there, because I think we can both recognize that and root for her and love her.
Absolutely.
Well, I was listening to Janet Mock has a podcast, and I was listening to her conversation with Maxine Waters this morning, and first of all, I woke up to Maxine Waters and Janet Mock on my phone, so I'm having a great day.
Yes, that's awesome.
And one thing that they were making the point about, like, you know, for so long Black women have been told, like, you have to, you know, fit this certain prototype, fit into this, you know, white centered world, work twice as hard to get half as much. And what, you know, when we see Maxine Waters just being herself, saying what's on her mind, no matter what, like, not filtering, not doing that, like, respectability filter, right, that we've all been taught to do. We love it because we're like, damn, like, you know, we've done this and we still get second chair. We're still taught, you know, to appreciate being in the room. And like, that really sat with me. And I think, like, at the same time, like, I want to be able to know all the reasons why Rachel may be making the decisions that she's making. And, like, I feel like I could hold both a Maxine Waters, like, being as dope as she is, and also a Rachel, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think that, you know, Rachel is smart. I think she's very strategic.
when Waboom and the guy that was obsessed with him were going back and forth and whispering into Rachel's ear, then Waboom said to him, well, he was standing over my bed eating a banana. And then Rachel says, well, did he finish? And she said it with like such a straight face. And what that moment taught me was that Rachel is not stupid, and Rachel is playing the game just as much as they're playing.
That's
it.
Right. That's right. Absolutely.
Like that was and such that... a low key like read in like this big, low key way, and I was just like, yes, Rachel, did he finish? Yes. Obviously, just that's what we want to know.
All of the shade. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That exactly. That's dope. And so I don't think any of those things are compromised by her femme, you know, her traditionally femme presentation. Mm-hmm. You know, she because she gives us that. If she was empty, you know, like if we didn't get any of that authenticity that shines through, then I think that would be an issue. But I think that, you know, we can, you know, that she's very layered and nuanced, and I appreciate that as a Black girl.
And that's kind of getting into the second question that I definitely want us to maybe answer by the end of the series, is how will the show manage to perpetuate its fairy tale without glossing over the real complications of interracial dating? And I think like it's really, not to put all the weight on Rachel, but it really is on her. Like, I think it depends on like how much she's willing to show, how much she's willing to play the game, but then give us little peeks into like an authentic reaction.
Right. I think that the answer to some of this question will come in the next episode, because a lot of that is going to center on how she reacts to white men vilifying and demonizing Eric for simply being a Black man, right? And performing accordingly. What does her reaction to that look like? Because like it or not, she's going to have to take a side.
Mm. Well, she's crying in the preview, right? She's like, I know what people are going to say about me. So I'm like, ooh.
Right. And I'm like, what, you know, like, okay, so what are you going to do? What is this going to look like?
So, yeah, like you said, the next episode is definitely, they canceled yesterday's episode for the
NBA finals.
And,
yay, Golden State. I low-key wish they would have just won the other night so that we could have saw The Bachelorette.
Yeah, we could have saw The Bachelorette. Yeah,
I can't even believe. Right, and I can't even believe I'm saying that because I've never even been that invested, but I just feel like this, you know, like the cliffhangers at the end of these episodes are everything. So,
But these shows are so long. Why is it so long?
2 hours.
Too much. They could have wrapped that up in like, because after she kicked off Waboom and the homeboy, I thought it was over, and then I was like, we're going to keep going.
It's about to come on again. It's almost like literally back-to-back episodes.
Yes.
To lead us to where we really want to see. Ugh. Like, of course, at the end, then you have to wait 2 weeks now instead of just one.
Well, Robin, this is a pleasure.
Thank you so much. I look forward to the next one and the next episode. So, to be continued.
To be continued.
All right, love. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, that's it for this first edition of the Represent Rose. Such a joy talking to Robin, and I just cannot wait for our next conversation. The next episode will drop after the next 3 episodes of The Bachelorette. Represent is produced by, well, me. Aisha Harris, as y'all know, is our esteemed host. And if you enjoy this episode, y'all know what to do. Go ahead and shoot us an email. Our address is represent@slate.com. And, you know, let us know your thoughts, your likes, your dislikes, if you agree with anything or nothing of what we discussed on the show. All right, y'all. Bye.